The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
And those people, folks, are the reason we're building a new student ministries building on the other end of the campus, because we've got to prepare for that next generation. And I know it may seem a long ways off, but in 20 years, those are the people that'll be leading from up here. So just like we're trying to teach them how to sing worship songs and honor God with their voices, we're teaching them the Bible in Bible study and small groups and community and fellowship. And so it's an exciting time. And there are new pictures in the lobby. If you didn't see them, there's pictures of the interior of the facility and what it's going to look like. So you'll want to check those out. Well, last week, we missed being with you. Mary and I were in Phoenix for a little while, and then I had to go to Dallas for another meeting. And Damien covered the tragic story of what happens when God's people get off track. What can happen in your life and my life, and all of a sudden, there is this major blow that just takes our life apart. Because Israel did not follow the path of God, they encountered a crisis. Now, the same is true in your life and in my life. Anytime we step outside of God's plan, it's going to cost us. I've been reading 1 Samuel in my devotions during the past week, and been studying the life of Saul, King Saul. And a couple of times, Saul got ahead of God. And there's one of these times, I'm reading it in the Message translation. I've never done my devotions in the Message, and I'm enjoying it. And there's one of these times when Saul steps out of line and Samuel says to Saul, "Let's see what God has to say about this." That's a good question for all of us to ask before we make decisions that take us outside of the path we've got. Achan would have been very, very wise to have asked that question before he took those coveted things. And it cost Israel, it cost Achan, it cost his family, it cost the community of believers. What do you do? It's not always our fault when we enter a crisis like that. We're all going to have circumstances and situations in our life where something's going to happen to bring life to a standstill. You know, I think about Mel and Betty, and 73 years of marriage is just an amazing accomplishment. But I also know that one of these days, one of them will go home to be with the Lord. And then, what do you do? How do you get from where you are to where God wants you to be in a crisis like that? When somebody breaks off the engagement, how do you move forward? When a spouse says, "I'm going out the door and I'm never coming back," how do you move forward? When you have the diagnosis that says, yes, it's terminal, how do you move forward? You know, in those situations and circumstances, which, by the way, every one of us are going to encounter. Every one of us are going to face those. How do you move forward to get from where you are to where God wants you to be? Well, that little battle at Ai, where the Israelites were defeated and some of them killed, Joshua is asking God this same question. You brought us to the river. You brought us across the river. We saw the walls of Jericho fall down, and then we get routed by the smallest city this side of the hills. How do we move forward? Look what God says. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Take this whole army with you and go up and attack Ai, for I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, the people, his city, and his land." What God is doing is saying, "Joshua, there's hope, there's help, go on." Now I want to couple Joshua today with another man whose name starts with a J, Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet of God during some of the most difficult years of the history of Israel. In fact, horrendous things happened during the life of Jeremiah to the people of Israel. They were carted off into captivity as slaves. They were removed from their homeland. Enormous atrocities, inhumanities to the Israelite people, to the people that Jeremiah loved. Jeremiah wrote two books. He wrote the book of Jeremiah and he wrote the book of Lamentation. And Jeremiah wrote what he lived, and he lived what he wrote. And when many of his countrymen were facing that, how do you move forward? Listen to what he says. We have suffered terror and pitfalls, ruin and destruction. Streams of tears flow from my eyes because of the destruction of my people. I have cried until the tears no longer come. My heart is broken, my spirit poured out as I see what happened to my people. How do you move forward in the face of that kind of crisis? If you came today feeling a little bit low, if you came today feeling a little emotionally empty, or you're feeling some anxious tension, you've come to a good time, because God's going to show us in His Word from Joshua and Jeremiah how to move forward. And God tells him four things here. He tells these men, there are four things. If you want to move forward in the face of adversity, the first thing you have to do is center your attention on God. Center your attention on God. Focus on God. In other words, get alone with God, be quiet, and just listen. See what Joshua did? It says in Joshua 8, Joshua built on Mount Ebal an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel. What about Jeremiah? Lamentations 3. When life is heavy and hard to take, go off by yourself, enter the silence, bow in prayer, don't ask questions, wait for hope to appear. One time every 3 months, we require our staff members to take what is called a wilderness day. And that wilderness day is a work day. But they are required to go someplace off by themselves with their Bible and perhaps some reading material and spend that day, an entire day, focusing upon God. Do you know God wants to talk to you that way? Do you know, in fact, God wants to talk with you more than you want to hear from Him? I had a professor one time tell us that if we were crunched for time and we could only do one of the other, pray or read the Bible, he said, always read the Bible because it's more important for you to hear what God says to you than it is for God to hear what you have to say to Him. And yet we don't do much of this. We don't sit quiet before God. We're too busy. There's too much going on. God, has God gotten a busy signal from you lately? Because He wants to speak to you, wants to say something to you. Have you just spent some time sitting down and waiting for Him? Maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Some of you have never done that in your entire Christian life, where you just go and you just sit and say, God, is there anything you want to say to me today? And you just sit and listen. I want to challenge you to begin something this week. Start with 10 minutes. Sit down and read some of God's Word, because God speaks through His Word. That's why we call it God's Word. It is God's letter to you and me, a letter of love to you and me. And we need to read that. But then after we read it for just a minute, maybe 3 or 4 minutes, just sit there and say, God, what do you have to say to me? Meditate on it. Look at it. You know, read it again and let God speak to you, because it is amazing the spiritual strength and stamina to go forward when you get the Word of God in your heart. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, I think the easiest way to give you some direction is just tell you, open your Bible in the middle. You should come to the book of Psalms. Flip back and go to the first Psalm. Maybe make a commitment to read one Psalm a day for the next 150 days. Spend 10 minutes just looking at the Word of God and letting God speak to you. Focus on Him. Look what the Scripture says here. Jesus said, find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage, and the focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. Jesus says, when life is hard, when the crisis comes, get away by yourself so that you're not praying to impress anybody else. You're not reading to impress anybody else. You're not putting on your mask. Just be real to God. No fancy words. God, this is what I need. This is where I hurt. This is the direction that I seek. And notice that phrase, the focus will shift. Why? Because crisis has a way of refocusing our attention. And in a crisis, you begin to focus on what really matters. What really matters. Because that is the crisis. You know, in a crisis, everything slows down. I've received calls to go to the hospital with somebody after an accident or something, and it seems the minutes just crawl. I've gone to the funeral home and sat with families who've lost a loved one. That's the only thing that makes time go slower than a hospital. But anytime we encounter a crisis in our life, it just slows it down. Now, that's not bad, because it is during this time that we can hear God. We're moving slower. So if you want to move forward, you've got to focus your attention on God. The second thing, it says, call on God to remove your fears. When you have a crisis, you feel all kinds of emotions. You can feel grief, confusion, anger, resentment, worry. But I would suggest to you there is one emotion that is more deadly than all of those, and that is fear. Because anger doesn't necessarily paralyze you. You still act out in your anger. But fear paralyzes us. And that's why Joshua has gone to God and said, God, what do we do? We're afraid. And look what it says. The Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid. Jeremiah does the same thing. Lord, what am I going to do? I've seen all of this tragedy. It says from the bottom of the pit. You talk about in despair. Jeremiah is in despair. From the bottom of the pit, I cried out to you, Lord. And when I begged you to listen to my cry, you heard me. You answered me and told me not to be afraid. Let's bring us all onto the same page for just a minute. Everybody in this room has hidden fears. Every one of us have a hidden fear. That gets us on level ground. There's none of us. I mean, you can be as tough as you want to be, but we all have fears. We cover them up. Sometimes we medicate them. But everybody here has fears because there's a lot of things to fear. You know, there's a lot of things in our country today, in our world today, there's a lot to be afraid of. If you're going to learn to get on with your life, you've got to learn how to manage that fear. And that's what God tells Joshua and Jeremiah. He says, when you're afraid, focus on the truth. Live with the truth. The Bible says the truth will set you free. Now, why is that relevant? Most of our fears are based on false information. We learn things as we grow up. We learn things from our peers, and we learn things from our parents and our teachers and our leaders. We learn things from our environment and school. And some of the things that we learn are just absolutely not true. And when we center on the Word of God, we begin to learn the truth. Do you know you're only born with two fears? A baby is born with two fears. The fear of loud noises, and the fear of falling. Every other fear that you have, you learned it. And the good news is, if you learned it, you can unlearn it. When you learn the truth about it. A lot of things that we base our life on are not necessarily true. Things about myself, things about God, things about others, you know. And you can't get over fear by just saying, well, I'm not going to be afraid anymore. You've got to replace the fear with the truth. It's what the students' choir sang. Did you get the gist of that song? I called and you weren't there. You told me you would be, but I can't feel your presence. So what am I going to do? It says, I'm going to stake my life on what I know is true. I'm never alone. Now, I may feel alone. I may be afraid that I'm alone, but the truth is I'm never alone because my Heavenly Father said, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's truth. And if I get that truth in my mind, then it sets me free. Love. Love helps me to remove fear. The Bible says there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. It pushes it out. So what does that tell me? The more I get the love of God in my life, the less fear I'm going to have. How do I get more love for God? Well, let me ask you, how do you develop deeper relationships? You talk to and you listen to the other person. You spend time with them. If you don't spend time with somebody, you don't have a deep relationship and you never will have a deep relationship. You might have a casual relationship, but not deep. So how do I get that love of God? Go back to number one. You spend time, you focus on Him, and then you live with faith. Faith means I'm trusting God. I'm going to trust God to give me the power and the energy and the stamina to go ahead even when I feel afraid. Let's ask this question. Where do I really get truth and love and faith? I get it from my relationship to Jesus. Getting rid of fear is not a formula. You take milk and Nestle's Quick, and you mix them together, you get chocolate milk. That's a formula. That's not how you get truth and love and faith into your life. It's not a formula, it's a person. And His name is Jesus. You trust Him. You see, the Bible says, I prayed to the Lord and He answered me, relieving me, freeing me from all my fears. Notice those words, the Lord and He. It's a person. The third thing the Bible says is be convinced that God will restore you. Man, I like this one. That God can help you recover from any crisis that you go through. This is what Joshua is doing. Joshua is saying, God, how do we move forward? We failed and we got whipped, we got beaten, and some men died. So how do we move forward? He takes the people out and stands them on the mountains, and some of them recite the blessings of God's word and some the cursings of God's word. Why does He do that? To show the love of a restoring God. Jeremiah does this. Look what Jeremiah says, restore us, Lord. Bring us back to You again. Give us back the joys we once had. I am so grateful that my God specializes in new beginnings. Every day. David in Psalm 27 said, I would have despaired. I would have been without hope unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He simply says, if I hadn't trusted God, if I hadn't believed God, I would have just shriveled up. So how do I do this? How do I learn to trust Him? Well, let's make it practical. There are some things that when a crisis hits, you have to do. The first thing, you have to report it to God, all right? You go and spill it to God. Let Him know the good, the bad, the ugly. Don't stuff it. And then you refuse to resign. I meet too many people who are willing to resign from life. Well, that's it. Whether somebody else created it or I did it on my own and it's my responsibility, I meet people who say, well, that's it. My life's over. God can't use me. God can't do anything with me. I'll never be able to make it work again. No, you stop it. Don't resign from life. Amen. Our God is a God who restores. And because He restores, I don't have to resign. If you're going to resign for life, then you may as well just go ahead and die right now. Because you're just going to exist. You're not going to live. And then he says, run from resentment. Man, when the crisis comes, especially if somebody else creates it, run from the resentment. Because resentment will ruin the future. Resentment doesn't hurt the other person. It doesn't hurt God. It hurts you and makes the problem and the pain worse. Every one of us in this room have been hurt by other people. But that person can't continue to hurt us unless we allow them. And we allow them when we rehearse that hurt over and over and over. Jonah. Joshua, Jeremiah, Jonah. Stuck on the J's today. He said, when I lost all hope, I once again turned my thoughts to the Lord. Man, I need to do that. Because sometimes I let myself down and I lose hope. And sometimes other people let me down and I lose hope. What do I need to do? I turn my thought again to the Lord. Now, this takes time. You don't get over this in a heartbeat. It takes time to heal. But look what the scripture says. The Lord is good to everyone who trusts in him. So it's best for us to wait in patience, to wait for him to save us. I have to admit, I don't like those three words. Wait in patience. I'd rather wait in a hurry. Why do I have to wait in patience? Because healing takes time. Healing takes time. So I focus on him and I ask him to take it and take my fear. And I expect him in faith to restore the joy. Because I know whatever I'm going through, God can bring healing. And then number four, consider what never changes. Again, I go back to that song of the students. Couldn't feel his presence, couldn't sense his presence. So I'm going to go and I'm going to stick to what I know. He is with me. Let me tell you three things that will never change with God. Jeremiah, Joshua, both show us. Joshua says, afterward, Joshua read all the words of the law, the blessings and the curses, just as it is written in the book of the law. They go back to the Word of God. And what do they learn from the Word of God that will never change? Number one, God is still in control. He is on his throne. He's still calling the shots. In spite of the tragedy in our world today, God controls how it's going to work out. The one thing God doesn't control is my choice and the way I respond to the situation. Whatever happens, God is not going to come into my heart and say, now, Michael, this is how you're going to feel about this. You're not going to lose hope. You're going to have hope. You're going to anticipate the best. You're going to trust me that I work that out. No, God doesn't come in and force that in my life. He offers that. But I have a decision to make. Am I going to walk with him? Am I going to trust him? Am I going to draw closer to him, believing that he will work it out? See, the one thing that I control in my life is my attitude and my response to the issues. And I need to come to that place where I say, God, I can't handle it. I'm the first one to admit to this whole room, there are things that come into my life that I cannot handle. So I need to draw close and let him handle it. Look what Jeremiah says. We are sick at our very hearts, and we can hardly see through our tears. But you, Lord, are king forever, and you will rule till the end of time. You need to remember God's in charge. The second thing, would you please remember that God loves you and he's never going to quit loving you? Oh, I love this verse that God has given us from Lamentations. It says, I'll never forget this trouble, the utter lostness, the taste of ashes, the poison that I've swallowed. Jeremiah says, I remember that. I remember it all. The feeling of hitting the bottom. Now look at this. And here's that beautiful word, but. But there's one other thing I remember. And remembering it, I keep a grip on hope. God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. How great is your faithfulness? Oh, folks, I am so thankful that my God will never stop loving me, that he is always in control. And then finally, I need to remember that he's all I need, really. He's all I need. Someone wrote very wisely, "You'll never know that God is all you need until God is all you've got." Do you know that's what crisis does in our life? It brings us to the end of our resources. It brings us to the end of our rope. And so our choice is to put our trust in him. And when we choose to do this, we discover he's all we really needed in the first place. I didn't need the worry and the anxiety. I didn't need the fussing and the fretting. I didn't need the manipulation and the trying to plan around it and do an end run and make myself a path. I didn't need any of that. I just needed him. He is all I need. Jeremiah says, "Deep in my heart, I say, the Lord is all I need. I can depend on him." And folks, God says, if you want to get from where you are to where you need to be, these are the steps. Following them, it's your choice. Stand with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know there's a lot of people here today who are tired, some physically, emotionally, spiritually. Some are down and depressed, some are worried, and some are confused. But Lord, you have the power to give us spiritual and emotional and physical strength to go on. And we look to you today. And I pray right now in this moment that we will open our lives to your comfort and that you'll heal those things in our life that bring us fear and failure. And I want you, with your heads bowed, just in your heart, why don't you pray? Let me just guide you in a prayer. Join me in your heart. You don't have to speak it out loud. Just in your heart and mind, God, I need your strength in my life. And I want to thank you for bringing me here today. Help me this week to start taking these steps. Help me to slow down. Spend time with you and focus on you. Let me make you a priority this week. Help me to build my life around your truth and not things that are not true. Give me faith so I can see my fears move away. Lord, I believe that you can and you want to help me through the times that are tough. And most of all, Jesus, help me to remember that you're in control, that you love me, and you're all I need. And I pray this in your name.
This has been a production of Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.